Welcome to Father's House in Grantsville, Maryland. The message you're about to hear will greatly encourage your growth in the Lord. Join us as we together open the living Word.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. It's good to see everyone out in the house of God. Praise Him. Thank you once more. Awesome job. By way of announcements this morning, pray for your pastor. Pastor Sharon, who is home, she is ill with some type of virus. I had that on Friday and Saturday. It seems to be a 48-hour thing that's going on. And we're just believing God for complete healing and recovery for my wife this morning. How many of you love the Lord this morning? Just slip our hands up and say, I love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. By way of announcements, next Saturday, starting at 9 a.m., the men of the church, we're going to meet here. We're going to have a work day. There's really anything that you see that would need it to be done or that would need to be done, that's what we're going to work on. We'll just look around and find things. Lord willing, I will be out here the end of the week with the pressure washer on the lighthouse because we need to get that sprayed down on the bottom portion, and we need to do some painting on there, so we'll get that taken care of. And anything else that we may see that needs to be done. Now, there is a sign-up sheet on the back at the sound booth if you want to sign up. Pastor Sharon told me this morning that she would be making another phone call through the automated system this week to those numbers of the men that are on there so we can all meet here again at 9 a.m. She will be providing lunch at noon for everyone. And I tell you, if you haven't had her cooking, and most of you have, you need to come out for at least an hour in work and then get the lunch. Amen. Praise God. And then Dr. Rebecca Polis is having a Women of Confidence 2017 that they are going to be meeting on the mountain. It says a personal, practical, prophetic, and powerful time with the Lord. It's her annual women's conference. Pastor Sharon will be speaking at the women's conference. That's on October the 27th and 28th. Don't forget, if you know of anyone that has birthdays this month, to bless them with your words and your kindness and your gifts. Also, November the 3rd, which is a Friday evening at 7 o'clock, and Saturday, November the 4th at 9 a.m., we will be having a deliverance seminar and mass deliverance service that will be taking place on that Saturday morning. We're believing God for great things. We've already, because we've announced it on Facebook, had a couple of invitations to do some other seminars and deliverance services, teaching on soul ties and things like that in other churches. So God is on the move, and we surely want to be on the move with Him. Can you say amen? Give the Lord a hand of praise one more time this morning in the house of God. If you'll put the first scriptures up on the board this morning, a few weeks ago, probably like 5 to 6 weeks ago, I spoke on the three ifs of 1 John chapter 1 and verses 8, 9, and 10. But I believe as the last couple of days I've just been reading over and over in the Word these particular verses in chapter 1 and verses 1 through 10. And with the Holy Spirit's help, I'd like to put a different spin on that this morning. Can you say amen with me? So the very first verse, when we read that, let's read it together. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. We're going to read all of these scriptures together. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, the second time that this is mentioned, we're going to do something about it. Declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us and see and hear. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and the word and is the Greek word kai, which means the same as, with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now watch as we read verse 4 through 6. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Can you say amen with me? And this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. This whole chapter is about having fellowship and when the fellowship is broken, to get restored to fellowship. Now we go on in verse number 7. But there's the conjunctive. So when we see the conjunction, again, conjunction, junction, what's your function? Here it is. But if we walk in the light, the key word is but if. See, you have to have the conjunction before you have if. But if, there it is, we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, look at verses 8 through 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse number 9. If we confess our sins, he, meaning Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Righteousness simply means being in right standing with God. So when we're living in unrighteousness or living in willful sin, that means we are out of fellowship with God, and we need to be restored back to fellowship with God. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and what? His word is not in us. Father, thank you this morning, for this is your word this morning, from 1 John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 10. We thank you that we have heard of him. We thank you that we have seen him, and we thank you that our hands have handled of him, which is the word of life. We ask that you would take this message this morning, and as we study it and break it down and go into the original Greek manuscript and find out what he's really trying to say to us, the Apostle John, as he was inspired by the Holy Ghost, that you would give us revelation knowledge, and that this revelation knowledge would so come alive in us that we can apply it to our lives and stay in right fellowship with the Father and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask it, and let everyone say amen, amen, and amen. Now, in verse number 1, as we're going to be reading again these verses and breaking them down verse by verse, this is a teaching this morning to help you if you feel condemned all the time, because the Bible teaches us in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should what? Not perish, but have everlasting life. When people quote that, they should never leave out the following verse, because verse number 17 says, "For God sent not his own Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world he might be saved." Notice the word might in John 3:17. That literally means that it's a choice, that we might be saved. We have to make the choice when we hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ being preached before we respond to it and ask Christ to become the Savior and Lord of our life before we ever become saved. Because the Bible gives us the original plan of salvation in the second chapter of the book of Acts in verse number 38. It says, "Repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Threefold salvation that God wanted us to have: to repent, to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was the original plan of salvation. You do not need the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues to get over into heaven, but you need it down here to get you through down here, so that it would help you and empower you to be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and to help yourself to overcome all manner of sin. Can you say amen with me this morning? When we see the word heard in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 1, I want to read that again. That which was from the beginning, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and his eternal fellowship with the Father in the beginning. Before he was Jesus Christ here on earth, he was the eternal Word that was in the bosom of the Father from the beginning. And the Bible says, at the appointed time in John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Jesus was the glory of the Father, the eternal Word that was with the Father in the beginning. Now, Galatians 4 and verse number 4, the Apostle Paul, when he was inspired by the Holy Ghost, he penned these words down. At the appointed time, God sent forth His Son, born of the seed of the woman. Jesus and His earthly father, who was Joseph, was never mentioned. Joseph wasn't mentioned as His earthly father because Joseph was just a stepdad, so to speak. And Jesus Christ, His Father, He said, if you've seen Me, you have seen the Father. His Father was in heaven. And He said, in TLC terms, I'm the spitting image of My Father. He says, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. If you don't believe that, believe Me because of the works six, or believe Me because of the works that I do. And Jesus also went on even a step further that said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father and you see Me no more. And people say, well, what is those greater works? I want to do the greater works. When you look in the original Greek, the manuscripts, the greater works means more of the same kind of. In other words, what Jesus did when He was here on planet Earth, we have been equipped through the Holy Spirit to do the same kinds of miracles, signs, and wonders. I believe that they're coming back and they're fully being restored to the body of Christ, according to Acts 3 and verses 19 through 21. So when we see here in verse number 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Now let's look at that for just a moment. I looked that up in the Greek, and the Greek word that stands for heard means reported about and understood. Reported about and understood. Or we could say that which was from the beginning, which we have reported about and understood. And it goes on to say next, which we have seen with our eyes. We reported about Him. We understood Him when we were with Him. Now we have seen Him with our eyes. Seeing in the Greek means to behold, or in other words, get out your magnifying glass and look if you can't see without it. So we get out a magnifying glass to take a closer look about who Jesus really is. So to behold, to discern, to take heed to. In other words, when we behold Him, when we discern, when we take heed to Him, we are going to receive the greater revelation knowledge so that we not only hear about Him and we not only see Him, but we go on and we can look upon Him and know that it's the right one that the Scriptures are talking about. Because there's a lot of Jesuses that are being preached in this world today. David Wilkerson said that he, in his message, another Jesus, another spirit, and another prophecy. He said before he was taken out of this world in an automobile accident, a great prophet of God. He said that there's going to come a time that the Scripture talks about that men will gather themselves together, teachers, to hear what their burning, itching ears want to hear. He said even before that time comes, they will start preaching another Jesus, another spirit, and another prophecy. That's why we are to study the Word of God, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As he goes on, he says, we have looked upon Him, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now watch this in the Greek. The word for handle simply means this. Our hands have handled, or our hands have manipulated in a good sense from the Lord's presence so that we can glean from Him and receive revelation knowledge. When we break that down through transliteration and translation, that's what that means. That is in simple childlike terms. Then when our hands start handling of Him, in other words, when you start taking the Word of God and handling it the correct way as the revelation knowledge comes out of it, then 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 6 will come to pass. It is the letter that kills, but it is the Spirit of God that gives life. And so then we have life from the Word of God. And in the Word of God, Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse number 10, for the thief cometh but for to kill, to steal and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, the Zoe kind of life, overflowing life, life to abundance, not only just to be saved, but I want you to be saved. I want you to have revelation knowledge to understand healing. I want you to have revelation knowledge to go through deliverance and set yourself free when you're out of fellowship with God. If you believe that this morning, give God some praise and glory in the house of God. In verse number 2, as we look to verse number 2, now watch this. For the life was manifested. And there's the chi word again in the Greek, which means the same as, or because the life of God was manifested here on earth through the personage of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus went back to heaven, he sent the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. He sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, didn't he? And 120 in the upper room received the Holy Spirit. And when it fell upon them, there wasn't none of them that did not speak in tongues. Every one of them, someone said, now wait a minute, it was languages. Now watch this. Every one of them spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. What fell upon them, and most preachers today don't even understand this, but what fell upon them was cloven tongues like as of fire. A cloven tongue is a divided tongue. If you've ever seen a snake stick or a lizard just kind of stick its tongue out real fast, it looks like a V. It's a divided tongue. And on one side, that was one tongue that man could interpret, which was languages, so they could understand what was being said in that time of the early Judeo-Pentecostal church period. The other side of the tongue was a tongue that no man could interpret. But the Bible said, let's pray that we may interpret, that edification may come about. In other words, the other side of that tongue was the initial evidence that they received there on the day of Pentecost. They all spoke in other tongues, which they got their prayer language and begin to speak unto God the perfect will of God from Romans 8 and verses 26 and 27. Don't pat a cake, but give the Lord some praise and glory this morning in the house of God. For the life was manifested, and because of that, we could say that, we have seen it. We've seen it. How many times have we seen it? Prophet Bill Moody, that I was a co-worker with in the ministry for several years in the early 80s, he and I would co-pastor a church where we would literally see things because we believed in the correct Jesus of the Bible. I can remember on one occasion, Bill and I and 10 other men were doing some remodeling in the church. There were 20-foot high ceilings. We just put up 2 ceiling fans. And we, because we were doing the remodeling, we had rented some scaffolding. And the scaffolding would reach about maybe 4 foot from the ceiling. So when you got up there, you had to stoop down a little bit and do some spackling work and all that, some drywall. And I was doing the finish work and doing a little stomping with a plunger around the ceiling fans with lights that we had just put up. And I heard a voice say to me, I'm sure your Lord would be pleased. And I looked around, but I not only heard something, I saw something with my eyes. It was a woman that was down at the bottom of the scaffolding when I was up 20 foot high. She was down, and I looked down and I saw her in white apparel and watched her disappear right in front of my very eyes. That's the kind of God that we're serving. God will allow you to see things and to hear some things as we go on. And bear witness after we've seen them. I bore witness of this. And show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now what's verse number 3? I love this. That which we have seen and heard. Not only did he tell us at the beginning, now he's telling us a second time. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Now watch this again. As we read that again, I'm going to read this as God had spoken this. That which we have what? Seen, or that which we have beheld and discerned and to take heed unto and declare we and heard, declare we unto you. Or heard means, again, reported about and understood. I knew the moment I saw this woman that she disappeared in front of my very eyes that God was well pleased. Because the building that we had purchased when we were in a building project was that when God told me to, I was going to be the founder of this church and it was going to be called Cornerstone Assemblies And it wasn't an Assembly of God. It was just Cornerstone of Assemblies, non-denominational church. When God spoke that to me and we ended up getting the church, God told me that we would have the money to remodel it within 2 months. And that took place. But the greatest thing about this is I didn't even have a congregation. I was out on the field evangelizing. Holy Spirit told me on the second night of a revival service to come to the altar and pray. And as I came to the altar to pray, something miraculous took place. I knelt down and the Spirit of God said, "You're going to pastor your first church." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness, you know, I don't want to do this. The pastor will work and I'll leave to the pastors, Lord. I'm an evangelist. I've been traveling." And God said, "You're going to pastor a church. You're going to continue to evangelize, but you're going to pastor a church, and I'm the founder of it." Not me, the Lord. He says, "I'm the founder of it." A lot of people say, "I'm the founder of that church," and that's a good thing. A lot of people says, "My people." Well, really, they're not the pastor's people. They're God's people. That's just a terminology to let people know they come to church here. Amen? So there's nothing wrong with saying that. But God said, "These will be my people. I will send them into the church." And in 6 weeks' time, we had 123 people. In 6 weeks' time, I'm like, where do these people come from? Never met any of them in all my life. And here they are. I said all that to say this. I heard it. I saw it. And then I handled of the word of life. And it goes on to say that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, before we turn over to verse number 4, I want to read this again and show you something. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. In other words, what I've seen, you can see the same thing as what he was saying. You don't have to sit there and just the ordinances of the faith and talk about salvation all the time. You don't have to talk about healing all the time. You don't have to talk about why I gave my life to the Lord for 50 times. You know, every time you come into the church, you don't have to come up and give a testimony and say, "Well, I got saved way back there," and tell the name of the place. But what God is saying, there's so much more other than that. And he said, "What I've heard and what I've seen, I want to tell you about so that your testimony will be sure, making wise the simple. Now, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you that you may have fellowship with us." Now, watch this. "And, or the same as, truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ." I've heard people say, "Come over to our place on Sunday afternoon and we'll have fellowship." Their form of fellowship is watching the NFL games. You know, and for those that like to watch football, that's a good thing. But what kind of fellowship are we talking about? I'm talking about the kind of fellowship that this word talks about. We've seen it. We've heard it. We've experienced it. You've seen miracles in your life, haven't you? You've experienced signs and wonders in your very presence in times past in church services and in your very own homes and in your cars. I've had angels just show up in the back seat of my car before. Twice I've had that happen. Right after I got saved, I had an angel show up in the back seat of my car and said, "In 3 years, it's going to start." That was in 1980, like 2 months after I got saved. I'm like, "What's going to start?" I'm a babe in Christ. I don't have any idea what God is talking about. But he said, "In 3 years, it's going to start." Little did I know, 3 years after I became born again, that I would receive a healing from ankylosing spondylitis, which is a crippling disease of the spine, semi-permanent in a wheelchair at that time. But God raised me up. Dr. John Polis's church, I got slain out in the spirit on the floor, laid there for 40 minutes. The spirit of infirmity left me. Come off of the floor speaking in other tongues. As the Spirit of God gave the utterance, God filled me. Great things begin to, come on. Great things begin to take place. It's all because I heard about him and I saw him with my eyes and I saw his angel sitting in the back seat giving me instruction. And then 2 months later, it started just like he said. It started an evangelistic campaign that took me 12 years in 637 churches all over the eastern seaboard, seeing people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and healed and raised up. I mean, revivals lasting 2 and 3 weeks at a time. Real revivals. I'm not talking about a series of meetings when you invite someone in. I'm talking about when God begins to move in a supernatural way and you're afraid to do anything. So you go over and you sit down in a chair or in a bench over in the corner and cross your arms and say, "Just go ahead, Lord. I'm not getting in the way of this." That's real revival. That's where God really moves in signs and wonders. Verse number 4, watch this. And, there's the word "and" again, so conjunction, junction. What's your function as a result of me seeing, as a result of me hearing, as a result of my hands handling, as a result of us looking upon Him? All those four things, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So if we were to sit here and say, well, I'm saved, praise God, I'm saved, thank God I'm saved, the evening shadows are going to fall. You know, but praise God, I'm saved. You know, there may be some horrible days, but thank God I'm saved. And it's like, you know, you hear people say or sing about in their song, I'm climbing up on the rough side of the mountain. Not me, brother. Jesus already climbed up on the rough side of the mountain when He climbed up on the cross. We don't have to climb up on the rough side of the mountain. That means we don't realize what Jesus has already done for us. The only thing we have to do is rest in Him, realize that when He said, I've allowed you to see me, I've allowed you to hear about me, I've allowed you to handle the word of life, I've allowed you to look upon me so that your joy may be full. That's what makes my joy full. We're coming into a time now, a restoration time, where Acts 3 and verses 19 through 21 is going to take place. There's going to be the restitution and restoration of all things, to where the church is going to start acting as it did on the day of Pentecost. We're going to see people slain in the Spirit. We're going to see people saved by the thousands. We're going to see people filled with the Holy Ghost and not ashamed in the marketplace to stand and say, thus saith the Lord. I don't know about you this morning, but I feel like preaching for a little while. Verse 4 again says that your joy may be full. Can you imagine? I mean, we've seen enough sad sacks in the world, but you come into the house of God, and every time you come into the house of God, someone's got a sad sack look on their face. We need to be happy Christians. Now, I'll grant you, we go through some times in our life that are troublesome. And I tell you what, I don't look like I have a sad sack, but I look like I got the real sacks, and they're underneath of the eyes, and they're on the sides of the face, and all of that. But what God is saying is that we don't have to live in constant communion with sadness. We don't have to live in a constant communion with things that are not of God. We don't have to be depressed all the time, but if we are reading the Word of God, the Word of God tells us in Nehemiah 8 and verse number 10, it says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. That is my strength. You don't have strength within yourself like you think you do. Most Christians think they're super Christians, and I can tell everybody else how to live their life, but I'm sad behind the closed doors. But what God is saying this morning, that every one of us have been born of the flesh. We are still in the flesh after we get saved. We're supposed to crucify the flesh on the daily basis, live above sin, and tell the devil, hey, Jesus has already defeated you. John 16 and verse 11 says, the prince of this world is already judged, and we still have people running around saying, oh, I'm so sad, preacher. The devil's chasing me around the room, and they've had about five voice changes in one sentence. And all of a sudden, they said, the devil's chasing me around the room. And I say, he ought to catch you. You already know that he's defeated. We already know that he's defeated. So if sickness and disease comes upon you, just start resisting the devil, and he will flee from you. It may take a couple days. Healing is a process. Healing, a miracle healing, is an instant healing. It happens right now. But what God is saying this morning, I've seen something with my eyes. I've heard about something with my ears. My hands have handled of the word of life. I've looked upon him, those four things. And because of all those things, the early apostles set the example and the precedent for us, that we can say, because of those things, my joy can be full. Jesus said, I'm giving you my joy, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Watch verse 5. I love it. This then, everyone say it. This then, one more time. This then, not something else. Galatians 1:5, Paul said, I marvel at you, Galatians, that you are so soon removed from this gospel that I'm preaching to you, unto another, which is not another. It's like when, you know, the people are away, or that, like, the leadership is away, the mouse will play. Well, that really tells you, if you're playing, you're not playing behind the leadership's back, you're playing behind God's back, which you can't do. I remember being in a large crusade in Indianapolis, Indiana, 1,200 people in this church. And I'm up preaching, and the Lord said, speak to that lady back there in that pink blouse, and said, you can't hide a thought from the Lord. Because I'm really preaching prophetically. during those times of 2007, 8, and 9. And the glory of God has fallen. And all, there's 1,200 people in there, and I'm up there, and I'm preaching. And I look at the lady back there, just like God said. I said, you can't hide a thought from the Lord. Well, she automatically got up and started cursing. So I'm like, well, she's demonized, so I'm just going to leave it alone. If she continues in that vein, you know, I'm going to have someone take her in the back room and put her through deliverance because she's going to be a disturbance. Well, she didn't do anything, but until then, about 2 or 3 minutes later, she stood to her feet and she started cursing again. Well, I just said, you have to leave her. Just about in that tone of voice, you have to leave her. And she fell over on the floor and began to vomit. It's because there was a demon that was trying to stop it. But after the demon came out, I met her after the church service was over, and she was one of the sweetest ladies that you could ever meet in your life. But she had opened up through the eye gate and through the ear gate, or through a generational curse, an opportunity for a demon to come in, and it was a spirit of Leviathan that was trying to use her in that service to cause disturbance, which is really a spirit of pride and arrogance. That's where it all starts. Then it becomes a stronghold in the community. So evidently, she was their chief intercessor. I'm like, oh my. Boy, when you send the prophets, you send the prophets, Lord. You don't send a pastor to do the prophet's work. You send the prophets to do this, to expose it, to cause it to uproot. And so that's what happened. And the next thing you know, she got set free and got completely delivered and testified, came back in and testified to the leadership of the church what had happened. Come on, somebody, let's praise the Lord. Now watch this. This then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you. Here it is, that God is light. Now, we know that. Another word for light is fire. God is fire. For God is fire, and in him is no darkness at all. Man, when you start a fire in the nighttime, the darkness cannot comprehend the fire or the light. Watch verse number 6. If, what's the key word? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's why the Bible said, let God be true, Acts the 17th chapter, and every man a liar. Because everyone in here has lied before in their lifetime. But praise God, when we get saved and spirit-filled, we don't have to lie. You still have the choice. You can lie. You lie, you'll have to tell another one. You tell that one, you're going to have to tell another one. Why not just tell the truth? The biggest thing that I'm seeing behind the pulpits today is that people want a name for themselves, and they want to be sensationalist. They want everyone to recognize them because of who they are. It's, none of us are who we are, but because of who he is. And because of who he is, we can become who we are in him. And then our joy can be full because we've seen him, we've heard him, we've handled of the word of life, and we've looked upon him. Can you say amen? Let's move on in verse number 7. Watch this. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, I'm walking in the fire. You want revival? Just open up the Word and start reading it and doing it. We don't need to go down to Florida to experience a revival, although those are good places to go because there's an open heaven seemingly down in Lakeland in those areas. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship not only with him but with one another. You won't have to worry about the bickering going on because you'll have fellowship one with another because you're on the same page. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. He said if we would walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship with one another. Somebody said, well, I'm not going over there and have fellowship. They don't have my favorite potato chip, you know, or they don't have my favorite burger, or burglars as we call them. They're not going to cook what I want to cook. Well, just go to June's house then. You'll enjoy her cooking. Amen. Or come to my wife and I's house. You'll enjoy her cooking. All this northern bland food after you taste that southern food, you know. You can't get no collard greens and grits up here anywhere. You know, you got to go down south to get that. So what I'm saying is that God is saying if we've heard about him, if we've seen him, if our hands have handled of him, which means to manipulate in a good sense, as so to glean from him, to receive revelation, then we can go forward and press forward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Now, verses 8, 9, and 10, I'm going to read them real quick, and we're going to close. Watch this. And this was about the three if message that I preached a few weeks ago. If, watch this. It started out with, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the what? Truth is not in us. Watch verse number 9. Here's another one. If we confess our sins, he's what? If you've sinned, You can sit and... But the Lord said, no, that's not the way to confess. Confess means to open up your mouth and speak. If you move your mouth, God will move your mountains. So if we confess our sins, watch this, He is faithful and just, those two things, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Everything that's not like God will be removed. We'll be restored to fellowship. Verse number 10. If, there's it is for the third time, we say that we have not sinned. See, it didn't say if you think it. I didn't sin. Somebody comes to try to restore you to fellowship. Wasn't me. I didn't sin. Well, you can go on believing that lie because it found you out. That's why it came to the surface. So if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I say this, I know I've sinned. I'll go to God and I'll say, Lord, I'm not saying I haven't sinned. I'm saying that I have sinned. And because of that, I'm going to verse 9. You tell me in your word, if we confess our sins. Now, I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to confess my sins. And if I confess my sins, you said that you would be faithful and just to forgive me for my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, I'm going to do that. You do your part about being faithful and just and forgiving me for my sins and cleansing me from all unrighteousness if I start confessing what it is. See, it works together. And then fellowship is restored. So here's what happens, and we're getting ready to close, promise. Here's what happens. We sin. There's pride and arrogance that puffs up. And we sit on that sin. And don't tell me we've all done it before. Every last one person in this room has done this. We sit on it for 3 or 4 days. There's some people that don't believe they can be wrong in anything. But don't trust that. Believe in the ones that will admit quickly that they're wrong to whatever they've done. And watch them get restored and watch the favor of God come upon their lives. So God, I say to the Lord, it's harder for me to sit there knowing that I've sinned and to sit on that than it is to just open up my mouth and release what is on the inside of me so that I can have forgiveness and be restored back to fellowship. So why am I doing this? It's because of pride. It's because the spirit of Leviathan wants to get its tentacles sunk into you so that you can't move and you will literally become useless for the kingdom and you will be all tied up and bound up with no place to go. And God says, if. So when we decide that not only if we're going to confess our sins, but that we are, we're going to be restored to fellowship. We're going to see that we've heard of him, seen him, and have handled of him, and looked upon him, and the signs, and the glorious, miraculous wonders, and the power of God is going to work effectively in every one of our lives.
You've been listening to Father's House. For more information or to download today's sermon, visit us at fathershouse.info. And remember, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer.